B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final hour with Felger and Maserati. In addition to our Celtics conversation, we've introduced a little Bruins. You can throw that in there, too, if you like. On the football side, Diana Rossini on ESPN today throwing water on the Patriots-Garoppolo conversation, saying the price is probably going to be too expensive for the Patriots. So I think Rossini is someone who has had juice in the past, has gotten some things right in the past. Not perfect, so, you know, no one's perfect. But I think she's got. I think she's pretty decent and sounded informed. And so, of course, we're going with it. To me, it has the ring of truth. If there's other teams involved with Jimmy Garoppolo and the price is a real legit second-round pick and his full salary, I can totally say the Patriots saying that's too rich for our blood. I can see that. I can see them. Their whole plan from the start was getting Garoppolo at a discount, which is what they want to get everybody at. And if he's not coming, you know, on their terms, they're going to be out on Garoppolo. I can see that.
I mean, a lot of it is like how it played out last year. They planned or maybe thought that Tom Brady ended up going to San Francisco and that Garoppolo would fall to them somehow or, you know, they'd get him at a discount. It didn't work out, so you ended up with Cam Newton. It's trending the same way again. If you really believe in him, Bill Belichick, if you really think that this was the guy, they had the guy, Mike. This was the guy, the heir apparent to Tom Brady, then no price is too high. And the first round pick, 15 overall, is ridiculous. But two in his salary of 25. That's not too big a price to pay. It's not.
So I wonder, you know, Murray, and again, maybe you can reset. You have a brown checkmark source.
That emailed me. Let me pull this up again. Yesterday.
Yeah. Go ahead. So we have sources here on the program. Some are solid, some aren't. But we go with all of them. Maz's seem to have a certain ethnic background. That's his Italian Apple Watch. So he gets Garoppolo intel. Maz's Apple Watch has told him that Chicago's in on Garoppolo. And that Garoppolo's going to have a market. Jimmy Stewart has heard things that New Orleans might be sniffing around Jimmy Garoppolo. Murray, you heard what?
A friend of mine with NFL experience, this is the emailer, a friend of mine with NFL experience and connections has revealed that San Francisco has offered picks for Teddy Bridgewater to Carolina, and they have entered talks with Washington for Jimmy G. Watch out, New England.
Okay,
so that could potentially be a third team. It would make sense, because right now, who they have at quarterback? Taylor Heineke, who they signed on short money? That's it.
So if just one of those three is legit, Chicago, New Orleans, or Washington, if there's another bidder there who wants Garoppolo, well, you're not going to be able to tear up his contract, or it's going to be between you and that other team and what other team's willing to pay. And if that other team's willing to pay 25, Garoppolo's not going to tear up his contract. He's got a no-trade clause, and he doesn't have to agree to your restructure. He could say, cut me. So you're not going to get him cheaper for 25 if there's another team willing to pay him that. And if another team really wants him, then your dream of having him be released is probably not going to come to fruition, and they're probably going to give up a draft pick to get it. If they're willing to pay him 25, they're going to be willing to give up a draft pick, I would think. So it just, period, if you have competition, that lessens the odds. And the way Rossini was talking today and Teddy Bruschi was talking today, they made it sound like the Pats aren't going to be in that category.
And that is asinine, and it is clear. Like, look, I am no Garoppolo guy. And I know, because I've had people email me today, like, why do you have real alarm in your voice talking about Garoppolo when you hate him? Because I can't go through another year like last year. Do you understand? Not just because I still am, believe it or not, I do still care about the team. I know I was all, you know, Bucks win and Brady's the man and all that last year. And I, you know, I am Tom over team for now until he retires. But I do still want to see this team turn it around, believe it or not. I do. And I can't watch Cam Newton again. I can't do it. You understand? I got to do the post game, too. They're going to have night games. I got to stay up till 3 in the morning. I don't want to do that again, guys. So even though I don't truly believe in Garoppolo and I don't think they'll win a championship with him, you'll win 10 or 11 games with him with what the little bit that we saw. I do think that. You might go on a deep playoff run with him. So that's the guy. Bill believes in him. Second-round pick in the $25 million. So let me paint the picture for you again if you think this is foolish. Think about this if it's Cam Newton again. It's the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. It's week whatever, 10, right? I think that's what it comes out to be. The 4-5 Patriots with Cam Newton welcome in reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady at 9-0. It's Cam Newton against Brady. And you're going to be sitting there being like,
Well, wait a minute. Washington has Jimmy Garoppolo now, and all they gave was a second-round pick and $25 million. Why didn't Bill do that? This would be a better game. They'd have a real quarterback. Why am I watching Cam Newton again? It's not too high of a price to pay. Don't be stupid about this. If you believe in the guy, Belichick, go get him.
Scary. It's scary. And Teddy Bruschi was on the set, and he doubled down on it. Bruschi, who does definitely have juice, says, and Jimmy, let's play that cut right now. You know, Bruschi follows up when Russini says that it's probably going to be too high. The market's going to be too high for a trade. And even when it comes to a draft pick, she said, it's going to be a mid-round consideration. And when she said mid-round, she didn't mean mid-first round. She meant like mid-round.
Which meaning mid-round, meaning are you talking about the middle of the first round they pick at 15, or are you talking about the middle of the draft, like a later round?
A later round, I would guess.
Okay. Yeah, middle of the draft, right. How's the sixth sound for you? But Teddy Bruschi was all in. He agreed. Go ahead, Jim.
Pressure on the head coach. You got to do something. I got to do something to win. Does Bill feel that? He doesn't. He doesn't care. Bill just knows whatever comes to him, however, the quarterback smoke, all these quarterback explosions. I mean, if Russell gets traded, if Deshaun gets traded, Dak gets paid, all of this, bam, quarterback splash. It'll all settle down, and that's when he'll swoop in and make a deal that's best for the team, because Diana, what she said is exactly right. Build the team. That's what he wants to do. And if I give up too much to trade for one, or if I give up too much to move up in the draft for one, I mean, then what happens to all the other aspects of my team that he values so much? And let me just talk about the pressure on the quarterback. If, say, hypothetically, he traded up to go get Mac Jones, that is Bill definitely saying, because what he says in front of a microphone, don't listen to that. The actions are the truth. So if he were to move up and get Mac Jones, he is saying by his actions that that's my guy, that's who I want. And then that puts added pressure on the quarterback. So Bill's going to build. That's what he always leans back on.
Scary. Bill's going to build. So, I mean, this is what Bruschi said on the quarterback. Whatever comes to him, it's all going to settle down, and then he'll do what's best for him. That's what best for the team, and that's what he'll do. So, in other words, the exact same approach as last year. All the best guys will go off the board. All the teams who want to spend and get a good quarterback will spend and get a good quarterback, and the Pats will wait for what's left. And because, you know, as Teddy said, if he gives up too much, you can't build the team. So that's what they're going to do at quarterback. Furthermore, Murray, at the draft, if the Pats traded up to draft a quarterback, that would put too much pressure on that quarterback because everyone would know that that's the man.
That is unbelievable commentary.
Oh my gosh! So that had us. That's something we hit on earlier. With little scary. We'll give you the Russini report here coming up in a second. But to your phones as promised. Victoria joins us from Amherst, line one. Jimmy, if you could, Victoria, you're up next with Felger and Murray. Hi, Victoria.
Hey, how's it going? I just have to say, I'm a huge Pats fan. I watch every game every year. But I swear to God, if the Pats have Cam Newton next year as their quarterback, I will refuse to watch every single game. I will boycott every game. I can't handle him throwing so many short passes right into the ground, missing wide open receivers by 5 yards when I can make the throw. It's ridiculous. Like, it actually causes me physical pain to watch. And anyone who wants him back, like, has never watched an NFL game in their life. Bring back Jimmy G. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay, Victoria. Great call.
Preach, Victoria. I mean, the job, but I hear you. Like, I said this towards the end of the season when games were still going on, Mike. He's bad for the brand. And we've prefaced it always like, nice guy, good in the room, snappy dresser, all that. We know that. He's cooked. He can't throw the football anymore. He didn't have a lot of weapons here. We know that. But when you can't read a blitz coming from your right side, then you're done. Like, you can't play anymore. We saw the short passes that he can't complete, throwing at guys' feet, he's done. Like, to think that we can bring him back, that they can bring him back, and it's going to work again, is asinine.
I mean, we get that call a lot.
Yeah.
I won't watch the team if Cam's on, you know. So this is another one where I wonder if the owner is just involved slightly. You know, Bill, we can't, as a business, we can't do that again. You know, I wonder if that's his place to do it. John in Marblehead. Go ahead, John.
Hi, I wanted to ask you guys a question about Bill Belichick. And mostly when we talk about Aaron Rodgers, Wilson, Mahomes, the guy in New Orleans, all great quarterbacks, all tremendous quarterbacks, but yet they've only won one Super Bowl. I wonder, with Bill Belichick as their coach, How many more Super Bowls do you think they would have won?
More, but why does it matter to you?
Matters because you're comparing Tom Brady, who I agree is the greatest quarterback, and he is tremendous. But these other men, these other quarterbacks, how successful would they have been had Bill Belichick?
Yeah, they wouldn't have had six. Okay, seven. So would Aaron Rodgers have won more than the one? I would have, with Bill Belichick as his coach versus Mike McCarthy and LaFleur. I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
I'd like to think they would have pushed through one, at least one more time. Or Russell Wilson? Sure. Yeah. Fine. What does it matter? Like, what is that? Is that trying to diminish Brady a little bit? I mean, Brady was helped by Belichick and the other way around. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're trying to get a quarterback on the team that's not going to, as the caller from Amherst or from wherever, Victoria said, is not going to be breaking ankles out there trying to throw little flares into the flat to the running back. Can we just start with that and then get back to the Brady Belichick thing? Tom and Quincy, go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, we want to talk. That girl from Amherst was kind of right on the money. with all these well-respected reporters coming out with all this news and kind of, you know, playing down the Garoppolo trade, and it's all based on the funds that they'd have to give them. I'm telling you, the only guy that's in their wheelhouse for cash spending is Newton. As disgusting and sickening as that is.
Well, also Gardner Minshew. He's probably on a rookie contract, and as a sixth-round pick is probably dirt cheap.
Yeah, I think he's got two more years left in his deal.
Thank Christ. Thank Christ for him, yeah. But, I mean, what is up with the wait-and-see attitude? You saw what happened last year. Why in the world, what the hell are you doing again? You're just going to bait and see what falls out of the tree?
Pricing, Tom. Pricing. It's got to be at their price. You know, and maybe they'll go outside of that a little bit this year because they have the money and the circumstances and whatnot. But until they do that at quarterback, I'm going to be leery. If Garoppolo's available and in the range of their pricing, yes, that's a real possibility, I would think. But if they've got to extend themselves for him, I don't know.
Does he still think it's 2003 in terms of team building? Like, it's changed, Bill. Like, and you know, even I, the Brady honk, will tell you that Brady was a very successful game manager around 02, 03. It ain't like that anymore, man. Like, it's a quarterback-driven league. You got to pay for him. It's not the time to sit there and do nothing and bring Cam Newton back again and draft some mid-round project unless you want to lose this job. And put a stain on your legacy. I said this earlier. Small S. It won't diminish what he's done. But if he does the same thing as last year, guess what? There's a small stain. I can see it. You can pick at it. Guess what? It's not going to come off your clothes. There's a stain there now, Bill.
Absolutely, Murray. I think it's more than a small S. That's a pretty, it's a pretty substantial epitaph to say, you let the greatest of all time walk out the door. He kept winning and you sucked. Like, that's a pretty glaring thing to have your final statement as an NFL coach. That's more than a small thing. And that's why this is such a big deal, and we keep picking at it. I mean, those were the stakes of what the Patriots did. And I thought they'd have an answer. I thought they'd have an answer last year.
Most important position in sports. I'll push out the best ever at it. And I don't want to pay for a guy. And I don't want to draft one too high either. Nah, I don't know. I'll dig up Otto Graham and have his corpse start. Okay, what are you doing?
That's what the reporting was this morning. You'll hear that. The price for Garoppolo might be too high, and we'll take your reaction to that and everything else. I see the rest of the calls on the board, I promise. We'll get to all these other topics right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mass.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mass.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maserati. In addition to our Celtics conversation, we've introduced a little Bruins. You can throw that in there too if you like. On the football side, Diana Rossini on ESPN today throwing water on the Patriots-Garoppolo conversation, saying the price is probably going to be too expensive for the Patriots. So I think Russini is someone who has had juice in the past, has gotten some things right in the past. Not perfect, so, you know, no one's perfect, but I think she's got, I think she's pretty decent and sounded informed. And so, of course, we're going with it. To me, it has the ring of truth. If there's other teams involved with Jimmy Garoppolo and the price is a real legit second round pick and his full salary, I can totally say the Patriots saying that's too rich for our blood. I can see that. I can see them. Their whole plan from the start was getting Garoppolo at a discount, which is what they want to get everybody at. And if he's not coming, you know, on their terms, they're going to be out on Garoppolo. I can see that.
I mean, and a lot of it is like how it played out last year. They planned or maybe thought that Tom Brady ended up going to San Francisco and that Garoppolo would fall to them somehow or, you know, they'd get him at a discount. It didn't work out, so you ended up with Cam Newton. It's trending the same way again. If you really believe in him, Bill Belichick, if you really think that this was the guy, they had the guy, Mike. This was the guy, the heir apparent to Tom Brady, then no price is too high. And the first round pick, 15 overall, is ridiculous. But two in his salary of 25, that's not too big a price to pay. It's not.
So I wonder, you know, Murray, and again, maybe you can reset. You have a brown checkmark source.
Yeah, that emailed me. Let me pull this up again. Yesterday. Yeah.
Go ahead. So we have sources here on the program. Some are solid, some aren't. But we go with all of them. Maz's seem to have a certain ethnic background. That's his Italian Apple Watch. So he gets Garoppolo intel. Maz's Apple Watch has told him that Chicago's in on Garoppolo and that Garoppolo's going to have a market. Jimmy Stewart has heard things that New Orleans might be sniffing around Jimmy Garoppolo. Murray, you heard what?
A friend of mine with NFL experience, this is the emailer, a friend of mine with NFL experience and connections has revealed that San Francisco has offered picks for Teddy Bridgewater to Carolina, and they have entered talks with Washington for Jimmy G. Watch out, New England. Okay, so that could potentially be a third team. It would make sense, because right now, who they have at quarterback? Taylor Heineke, who they signed on short money? That's it.
So, if just one of those three is legit, Chicago, New Orleans, or Washington, if there's another bidder there who wants Garoppolo, well, you're not going to be able to...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Getting you through the afternoon, one take at a time.
Oh, my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Mass.
So why don't you just do that? Let's do that then.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now the Radio.com app.
Let's just start with the fact that Bill Belichick has never drafted a quarterback higher than at that 62 spot with Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's the history. We know they like to stick with that and go with what has worked for them, which is building. In terms of trading for a quarterback, it's of course on the table. It could happen. But the sense there is just it's going to cost too much. It's going to cost too many draft picks for them to make that move. Could it happen? Yes. But if I had to guess, it would most likely be a quarterback coming out of the draft in that mid-round.
Which meaning mid-round, meaning are you talking about the middle of the first round they pick at 15, or are you talking about the middle of the draft, like a later round?
A later round, I would guess.
Okay.
Just scary on so many levels. And we cut it out there, but just so you know, the question was about Garoppolo. They weren't asking about Deshaun Watson, and they weren't asking about Russell Wilson or something like this. Specifically, was the topic, the conversation was about Garoppolo.
A guy you can get. This isn't impossible.
Yeah. Too expensive. What was the line? What was the exact line? The sense is that it's going to cost too much.
But the sense there is just it's going to cost too much. It's going to cost too many draft picks for them to make that move.
Too many draft picks to make that move.
Cost too much. We're not talking about the deal Dak Prescott.
Which meaning mid-round, meaning are you talking about the middle of the first round they pick at 15, or are you talking about the middle of the draft, like a later round?
A later round, I would guess. Okay.
So that's the rookie. That's
Greeny,
the
I'm talking about the crap.
But the Garoppolo thing, they're going to cost too many picks. Right, she's not talking about the Deshaun Watson trade, which is like three or four first-round picks, or Russell Wilson or something like this. This is Garoppolo, which is probably going to be a second. right? At most. But maybe they deem that too much. All right, so there's that.
That's too rich for our blood.
Doesn't it feel like Belichick wants a Tesla for the price of a Camry?
Yes, of course. Right, yes. And I assume Teslas are expensive and Camrys aren't. I don't even know.
By the way, you're at the Felger compound. That was read from Jimmy's phone. Jimmy had some other stuff during the commercial break. You want to share that there, Stu?
Really? Okay, let's go. Stu's phone checking in. Let's go.
We all know what the price is for Garoppolo. We know it's going to be high. The agent Don Yee knows that it's not Patriots or bust. But what if Seattle moves on from Russell Wilson? So now you have the Patriots, the Bears, the Saints, and the Seahawks, all involved in need a quarterback. Three of those teams will not have a problem paying Jimmy Garoppolo. And the holdup is San Francisco wanting but not needing Darnold.
So in other words, if Seattle was to move on from Russell Wilson,
right,
then that's another open spot for him.
Correct.
And Seattle doesn't have a problem giving big money to a quarterback, do they?
Nope.
The more teams that are interested, the less likely, obviously, right? I mean, say that about everybody, but especially you. So that's the latest on the Garoppolo reporting. Stuart's also got a great Celtics trade thought for you coming up that we'll give you as well from his phone.
Jane my Grafton, email of the day.
Yeah, it was a tremendous email today. Let's go back with Jay and Grafton, though, Stu, on line 7, if you could, please, on N'Keal Harry. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. I almost lost my mind yesterday with the N'Keal Harry defenders. Those people need their heads examined and need to tell me what dispensary they're going to, because they're on a different planet. Should we re-sign Aaron Dobson while we're at it? If a team's willing to trade a bag of deflated football, take it. And that might be an overpay. It's time for Harry to go.
Okay, Jay, thanks for the call. Stu, you may let him go. It is true, Maury. There are a lot of people that said, hey, Brady shut him out and Cam Newton sucked. So what do you expect? He was not put in a position to succeed.
I think that they're cornered and cornered with, it was a first round pick. It's only been a couple of years. There's still some upside there. And don't fool yourself. I said it yesterday. We've all fallen victim to this, because there was a kid that said he had watched him at Arizona State, and he loved him there. He was a stud. We all fall victim to this. You watch some college football, you fall in love with a player, that kid's going to be a lock of a stud in the NFL. And it just sometimes doesn't translate. Mine was Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins kind of turned out to be a bum. That's what N'Keal Harry is. Did you listen to Zone Beetle today, too? I actually liked Beetle's theory of, apparently N'Keal Harry's bought a house out in Arizona, likes it out there, talked about when he was in the draft, would have liked to have been drafted by the Cardinals. A one-to-one swap for that Andy Isabella, who's on the outs.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, I heard that. I love that idea.
Yep, I would do that tonight.
100%. I liked Isabella. I thought he was good in the game here. I noticed something. Yeah. Flashed. Yeah. He's their kind of guy. Little shifty slot guy.
Edelman replacement.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, I would do that in a heartbeat. Oh, I would consider that a steal, frankly. If you got that Isabella kid for N'Keal Harry.
The kid, K'Neil Harry.
I would consider that an absolute steal. I like that idea. But
you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Chris has been sitting patiently on the Bruins. Chris, go ahead.
K'Neil Harry, yeah.
Chris.
Line 2, Chris, if you could, please. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thank you. I was waiting. I know you've been freezing up, Felger. So thank you for taking the call. But, no, I think Sweeney should be on the watch. Very disappointed in his before-the-season acquisitions. Smith wasn't the call. And relying on the soft noodle there, Okashi, you knew he had head trouble. So there's your second line, gone, already gone. And DeBrusque, ship him for a bag of balls, I would. Okay. And, right?
Okay, yes, thank you for the call. Yes, I think Sweeney bears a lot of responsibility. But I was saying before, I'm sort of bouncing between the two, whether it's the players or him, because, guys are really underachieving. I mean, DeBrusque may not be great, but he's not zero goals, 5-on-5, playing every night. He's better than that. So I don't know, how's that Sweeney's fault? And Krejci not being able to score, is that Sweeney's fault? And Coyle, not living up to his potential, is that Sweeney's fault? So, I think there's a lot of players who are just no-showing. But then again, Sweeney went into the year with Andre Kashi as his second-line right wing. And Jake DeBrusque as his second-line right wing. And even if DeBrusque is okay, that's still probably not good enough. And so,
DeBrusque and Coyle, it's a hodgepodge of both. DeBrusque and Coyle are underachievers. So, again, DeBrusque was on his way to 27 goals a couple of years ago. He was on his way to 20-ish last year before the shutdown, and then they went into the bubble. He's a nothing this year? That's on him. He's underachiever. And the same with Coyle.
Ernie is in Revere. He's up next on the Patriots. Jimmy, if you could pop him up on line three. Hi, Ernie. What do you got?
How you doing, bud? The reason why Belichick has bad drafts on wide receivers, he won't draft a diva. He hates divas. He will not draft a diva. So it makes it even harder to find a wide receiver that's not a diva. And then his pass rushes, he's got to play the run. If he can't, if he's a pass rusher, he's got to play the run, or he won't draft him, or he'll ship him off. And
Ernie,
don't forget,
Ernie, those are two philosophical things that I think are fair. That Belichick wants hard-nosed, tough-minded, grinded-out, coachable, disciplined, tough football players. And it's hard to find those guys at receiver.
Yeah. With talent comes trouble, right? So I'll take the guy that's going to nod and take my crap that might not be as talented as the other guy.
And the thing about, well, if you can't set the edge and defend the run, you're not on the football field. That's another thing. Like, and I don't know, like, I think that's the way that he is in his base defense. I don't think he wants guys like that out there on first down. He's had situational pass rushers before. I that's not as glaring to me as that other thing. But I think it is fair to say, are his defensive philosophies outdated? You know, two-gapping and reading and reacting and those sort of defensive principles that really worked for a time and was the bedrock of how he played defense. Is that really what the league is anymore? I mean, it's so wide open. It's so spread out. It's so fast and based on speed and athleticism. Is Bill's defense sort of, you know, outdated? But as you say that, it was just 2-3 years ago that they had an excellent, excellent defense that he built and he coordinated. And so it's like, I don't think it has passed him by. So I'm, as I've just talked that out and worked it out with myself, talking to myself. I'm not worried about the defensive part. I'm not. If he can get the right players, he'll have a good defense. He's still he can still do that. That's not the issue. The issue is, will he spend? Will he spend at the offensive skill positions? Will he build the team offensively the way that he should build it? And there we have real questions. There, a guy like Tom Curran has real questions. Again, we'll reset that too coming up, where Curran said basically yesterday, Bill should be fired from building the offense for all intents and purposes. I mean, to put words in Tommy's mouth, maybe that's a little strong, but that Bill has to maybe defer a little bit when it comes to picking the next set of receivers or skill position players. How do you feel about that? We'll get to that after McCone's update here, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger, Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said, point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger, Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Honestly, Trenny, I think the best thing that Bill Belichick could do for his football team, the smartest thing that he could do, and the most persuasive thing he could do would be to divest himself of all offensive personnel responsibilities at the skill positions. I'm not talking offensive line. I'm talking he's got to get a different voice in there. We've heard different people around the league. We've heard former Patriots executives. I've talked to them. And you ask, how's this person going to do in a personnel position that's higher on? They go, doesn't make any difference. Bill makes all the decisions. You can have whatever poobah role you want, but it doesn't make a difference. Bill's making the decisions. And what have the decisions yielded offensively?
So let me get this straight. You think the best thing for the Patriots' future is for Bill Belichick to no longer be in charge of the offense?
To no longer have as great a say in who the Patriots bring in on the offensive side of the football. He can have final say, but at some point he has to deal somebody else into the equation, whether that's Dave Ziegler, whether it should have been Nick Caserio, whether it should be Josh McDaniels, whether it should be, you know, the ghost of Dante Scarnecchia. Somebody has to help out with figuring out that you can't lowball everybody at wide receiver, and you can't play NFL football without tight ends, and that it matters who's playing quarterback for you, and you're not going to game it up and scheme it up every single week. You're going to have to outscore some teams too.
Okay, Tommy Curran on NBC Sports Boston last night. And, you know, it sounds good on paper. I think a lot of people agree that maybe need a fresh look at things on offense, certainly at receiver and tight end and all the problems they've had at those positions the last couple of years. Where I've jumped ahead to is then the practical application of that. So you have to convince Bill now to let someone else pick some players? Or not just, you know, scout a player, but actually you have to defer to him at that position? Can they get Bill to do it? How would that go over?
I just don't know how you could swing that. Unless maybe Robert and Jonathan talk to one of the kids that's on the staff and you butter them up and say, like, okay, you know, try to convince your dad that you make the pick. And it's one of the picks that, you know, we've all come together, some of the other offensive staff, and this is the player that we want. It would have to be some sort of finagling that way. But even then, Bill's too smart to fall for that kind of crap. I would love more checks and balances in the room come draft day. I just don't think you're going to get it without pissing him off.
So, like, I just think that is that's a delicate. That's a delicate little thing there. Okay. So, we'll take your calls on that real quick before we get out of here. I just want to give reset Jimmy's hot Celtics take, or what he's hearing, you know, what Jimmy Stewart's phone is hearing Celtics trade-wise. Danny Ainge was on TNR this morning saying that they are not in the business right now of just looking at a rental. They make a trade. They don't want it to be just for this year. They want a guy that can help them going forward into the future. And so that would seem to eliminate some of the bigger names that we've heard, like, well, LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be available from San Antonio, or even Kyle Lowry, Oladipo. Those are rentals, it feels like. Harrison Barnes has term, but that's not exactly what Stu's hearing. Stu, what are you hearing? Do you want to say it again, or do you want me to read your email?
You can read the email.
Okay, Ainge is looking for a deal for a young player with term, a big who can shoot and defend. I continue to believe the Celtics' target is John Collins in Atlanta. The trade would be Collins and Tony Snell, the shooting guard, don't worry about him, going to the Celtics. Okay, so Collins and Snell going to Atlanta would be draft picks, Nesmith, Robert Williams, and Tristan Thompson. The cap money works, and you don't even have to use the TPE. This is the thing. You still have that TPE in the offseason. The issues are Atlanta doesn't love Robert Williams and Tristan Thompson doesn't want to go to Atlanta. So now the Celtics have to find a third team, like the Clippers, who need a big. And does Thompson or Williams work for the players and the Clippers? And is something called Luke Kennard a player that Atlanta wants? He says, too much information, I know, but that's what I have. Okay, so we had heard elsewhere, was it, who'd you say, McCone, reported the Harrison Barnes ask?
Zach Lowe had it. And so the ask that Zach Lowe said was that it would be more than Nesmith, you'd also have to throw in a top 10 protected first round pick to get done.
If Danny's balking at that, that would piss me off. That would scare the crap out. Wait,
it doesn't sound like enough. That's
doesn't
crazy.
It, right? It's not a lot.
Not even close. Harrison Barnes and Nesmith? I mean, sorry. I'm sorry. For Harrison Barnes, Nesmith, and a first round pick from you that's going to be in the 20s? Like, who cares about the protections? That I don't get, unless I'm missing something right on that. I mean, you think you're going to have a top 10 pick anytime soon with Brown and Tatum?
No.
Give them the effing pick. Give them no protections if that makes them feel better. It's not going to matter. Like, that would frustrate me.
Danny just doesn't like Harrison Barnes.
Do you think that? Do you believe that, Stuart? Or how does your phone feel about that? What do you say?
No, I think that the Celtics are just hard-capped and they don't want to use the player exception on Harrison Barnes.
Got it. Got it.
Even the kids found that hysterical.
Yeah, exactly. Make the move, yeah.
Well, I mean, to me, it would be then more about the TPE thing than about the give. You know, they want to save that player exception for something big.
So fine. If you want to wait until the offseason for that, fine. But I do still think, and this we talked about at the beginning of the show, and I'm with McCone on this, like, you got to add something here. You got to add some scoring depth on that bench to appease your top two players in Brown and Tatum, because it's everything you got to do right now is to make them happy. And if you don't add a little bit, you're telling your two all-stars, first time for Brown, that, yeah, we don't really believe in you all that much. And you risk pissing them off and them trying to find somewhere else to go down the road.
Okay, so
would you rather be... If you're Beal and Tatum, would you rather be in Boston or Washington, D.C.?
I mean, eventually, that's what it may come down to. Or do they both say, screw it, let's just wait till we have our opt-outs, opt out, and I'll meet you in Miami? Like, I mean, that's a big scenario, too. I mean, if you want to go way down the road, I've talked about this before, you may come to a point where you think these guys are flight risks, Brown and or Tatum, and you may have to deal the other for a more championship-ready guy or another championship-ready guy, hope it clicks and you win and can convince him to stay. And like Tatum and Beal is the obvious one. I feel those two are destined. Beal even said it. Us St. Louis guys got to stick together. He just said it last week at the All-Star game, I think. Those guys love each other. You wouldn't be surprised one bit if they're conspiring or if they're saying to each other, one day, man, it's going to be you and me. And when they get to that point, they'll make it happen. These players make it happen now. So why not make it happen for them, you know, and do it on your terms and see if you can get them to do that here versus a chosen destination. So, okay, a few more calls here before we hit the final word. Nick is in the car on the Pats. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, two quick things. Doesn't it piss you off more knowing how the sneaky, slimy little things Belichick does, like high only assistants that are already getting paid, and then you hear that he won't, you know, pony up for actual legit talent? And then my other one, yesterday, all over Twitter and everything, all the Harry defenders, it's like making all these excuses. And the bottom line is he can't get separation. He just can't do it. And that's what it comes down to. He doesn't line up right, and he can't get separation. And some nerd comes back to me with some, well, his separation chart is like 2 point. It's like, you know, what are we doing?
They have a separation chart? That exists?
No, I'm sure it does.
I mean, like I said yesterday, Damir Bird and Jacoby Myers were better than him last year. Same quarterback, same scheme. They got the ball more. They had stretches where they were productive. Stretches when they weren't productive, but at least there were periods of time. We said, well, you know, they actually look like NFL receivers. Harry's never had that. Never. Nick in the car on Garoppolo. Yes, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Do you think that, like, because, like, you know, how, you know, Belichick likes to spin everything, do you think he's just kind of, like, telling Rossini and Brusky all these things, kind of, like, so he doesn't create, like, a bidding war for Garoppolo and try to, like, drive the price down a little bit?
Well, how does a bidding war drive the price down? Drives it up.
Well, I mean, he's, like, he's trying to downplay it, saying, like, you know, the Pats aren't really that interested, so, you know, maybe that doesn't fuel more teams to be like, okay, well, if right. they want him, we'll offer this. And it keeps going higher and higher.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, no. I mean, I think you're mixing up a little bit, but it's possible the Patriots are laying in wait, and they're sending out some false smoke signals, some balloons there that say, nah, we're not interested. You know, the price is going to be too high. We're, you know, we're just going to trade down and pick something in the fourth or fifth round and, you know, maybe lull some teams to sleep. That's possible. Yeah. It's entirely possible.
But recent history, i.e. last year, would show you that, no, they're just playing it out like last year. Eh, we'll wait until the end. We'll find some piece of crap, and that'll be our starting quarterback. And maybe we'll take someone in the fifth round.
You know, again, it's this. I just, you know, tacked on the Rossini and Brusky stuff today to Jim McBride. You know, and Jim McBride, good ties to the team. He's a team guy.
I was going to say earlier, you know, Maz, who had the day off today, must have been driving around and probably wanted to, or if he, maybe he was listening while golfing and, you know, crashed his golf cart hearing all this stuff. And he texted me. And it's a great point. Bill won't pay a second-round pick and $25 million for Garoppolo, but he would deny four first-round picks for him if he had them. Makes zero sense. It's a great way to put it.
And then was that – did he follow it up by saying, they had the guy, Murray?
No, it was sent with Siri, so, you know.
All of his stuff. Yeah. All of his stuff is voice-activated. That's all of his correspondence. It's great. Joe, I believe on the Patriots. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, my point that I think is interesting is that the Patriots, as many draft misses as they've had, they tend to do well with certain positions and they do very poorly with other positions. So offensive line in the middle rounds, they do really well. Defensive backs at the end of the draft, they do well. For some reason, defensive backs at the beginning
undrafted
of the draft.
Undrafted guys, So what's
terribly.
Your point?
So why wouldn't they just... obviously, wide receiver has been a disaster. So why would they just focus on those positions that they do well in the draft and focus their cap money and trades on wide receiver and quarterback?
Okay. All right. So there you go. I was worried about, you know, you still have to field those other positions. So, but no, I mean, I think that's how I want them to do it. I mean, or I think that's a reasonable approach. We're striking out in the draft with these kids. For some reason, we just can't find the receivers. Everyone else can, but we have a blind spot. So why don't we do receiver at the NFL level and offensive line at the college level because we're good at scouting those guys? I think that's fine. I have no problem with that. The problem is the receivers in the free agent market cost a lot of money too. And so you've got to sort of pluck from the middle of the list. But I still like their chances better at that, Murray, than drafting a guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, the recent guy that they brought in, you know, at least traded for, and Mohamed Sanu, and Brady had to do with that too. Like, that wasn't a good assessment. But I would further trust them with, yeah, an NFL-ready guy than any of the ones that they've drafted, because he is – it's been a mess at that position at the draft.
So, I mean – I wonder if he's legitimately I don't believe teams are beating down the door for N'Keal Harry, you know, or that they're calling. Multiple teams have called are calling the Patriots on Harry. I just can't fathom that. But like I said yesterday, I do hope he's in these discussions. And if the Patriots can get anyone to bite on some of their recent high draft picks that have flamed out, then do it. You know, I'd rather give up N'Keal Harry than a draft pick this year. I'd rather give up Sony Michel or Isaiah Wynn than a draft pick this year, because I think those guys are all –
You're an idiot.
Mike Lombardi, wasn't hitting
now,
on it.
Now, to me, that's a legitimate receiver. Now, you take Metcalf before him, you're an idiot.
Well, Mike,
you're an idiot.
I get that, but I think he stinks. I'm talking to Lombardi here. I get that he stinks, but like I said yesterday, like, I wouldn't, you know, if he was a malcontent, I'd take a sixth or a seventh for him. At that point, like, give him another year, see what happens. But a fifth, I'd take a fifth. And if you're trying to talk yourself into, like, hanging on to him, why? Guys can be busts.
The kid, K'Neal Harry?
You can't say the name right, Mike. He stinks. Like, he's not that good.
Metcalf's a three-route runner. Now, all you fantasy players at home, if you like that, if you got those three routes in your offense, God bless you, take them.
I do. He might be the best young receiver in the league.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
It's become our favorite piece of sound. All right. And when N'Keal Harry's gone, I don't know, we'll still use it. Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest price on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So we have some good stuff for today. You know, 10 years ago, Zdeno Chara put Max Pacioretty into the boards. Jesus. And so you guys got a call from a Canadian radio station, CJAD.
We did a simulcast. That was 10 years ago today?
Yes, they wanted to do a simulcast with you guys 10 years ago today. So we have two segments. The first one, a little testy, but not too bad early on.
Where were your talk shows? Where was Louis Dion? Where were your fans clogging 911 lines asking for an arrest when it was your player? This is what I'm telling you. It is over-the-top, embarrassing Yahooism on the part of you, the media, your fans, and that prosecutor. It is embarrassing.
That's pathetic. That is just a pathetic claim.
And not nearly as embarrassing as what the league is doing right now. And why don't we open it up, guys?
Nothing
we'll take
like calling
a break.
Fans Yahoos, eh? That's not over the top.
Well, no. But what's calling a 911 number to arrest an opposing player other than Yahooism? It is the definition.
You ever hear frustration, fellas? You ever hear of anger and bitterness?
Well, then call the league. Call the league. Call a sports talk radio show. What are you calling the cops? Are you nuts?
Time out. Time out in Boston. Time out in Montreal. We're both going
to
take a break.
I'm really shocked there's no respect to the NHL. When this guy's calling us nuts on the air, I'm really shocked that there's no respect between players when they can't be respected.
Yahoos. I didn't say nuts. I said Yahoos.
It's 4:15. Let's get traffic here and help me get a break. Barry, tone it down, and guys, we'll be right back.
Barry?
Oh, that was good.
Second segment really off the rails. If that was bad, this one didn't end well, yeah.
to arrest him, to have your fans call the
cops? Was he arrested? I must have missed that.
And say, arrest him?
It's an investigation. Listen, don't get hung up on that.
Hey, Barry.
What we need to get hung up on, guys, this is not about blue, blanc, rouge. It isn't about black and yellow.
Yes, it is.
It's about an act.
It's
about a league that is not taking the proper action, and it's turning us off the game, guys. And as fans in both cities, we ought to be more proactive on this and send a clear message to the league to get your act together.
Do you understand how hypocritical you are? You did not have this show December 27th when Max Pacioretty boarded
Mark Eaton
because it's a Bruin and you're a Yahoo. The fans up there are Yahoos.
You know what?
That's why you're doing it.
Cut them off because we can't reason with people. We can't have an intelligent conversation about this.
Because you got a name calling.
Because it goes to name calling. Well, that's too bad because there's an awful lot at stake here.
Can you guys still
hear us? The game we love.
And is Matt their Canadian stew? Cut them off there, eh?
That's why you're doing it.
Cut them off because we can't reason with people. We can't have an intelligent conversation about this.
Because you got a name calling.
Because it goes to name calling. Well, that's too bad because there's an awful lot at stake here.
Can you guys still hear us?
The game we love.
That's hysterical.
Poor Maz. It was very early on in the show, too.
Even when they're angry, they sound so kind and goofy.
I know, really, right?
Yeah. You guys still
hear us? The game we love.
You got a name call.
That's why you're doing it.
Cut him off.
Got a name call, eh? Jean-Baptiste, cut him off. We're done here.
All right, we got some sports tonight.
Sports!
The game we love.
Yes, we have the game we love. Bruins, Rangers. On our air.
Yep.
7 p.m. puck drop.
Yes. McCone?
7 p.m. coverage begins, yeah.
Okay. Oh, 7:30 puck drop.
So yeah. It's a 7:30 puck drop here on 95 The Sports. Up Celtics coming away on ROR 105.7. Are they 7:30? 7?
Okay, so yes, McCone.
I got this completely wrong.
You did. It's the Bruins.
This is your one job. This is the one thing you're supposed to do. Thing,
yeah. Bruins at 7 here. 7:30 over on 105.7 WROR with Grandy and B-Rob tonight. 7:30 tip-off.
Okay. Good God, McBone. One thing. All you have to do is have the times. Yeah. That's it. Either way, we'll enjoy the game site sports. A lot of sports, and we'll be back tomorrow at 2 to talk about it. We'll see you guys then. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.